All right, so let's start. We're going to start a few minutes early because you guys are awesome. You showed up early and show up early, leave early, and we'll just move right on through this. My name is TJ Graney. I want to thank you for being here. We're going to talk a little bit about outdoor ministry and kind of how that came about in my world and how it might apply to something that's going on in your heart right now after being downstairs and just being here, period. So first of all, let's just be present. Let's just slow down and be present. Man, we just came from that whole thing going on in the world out there, pulled up in this parking lot, had a little bit of time with Johnny to kind of start getting us into the mode, but let's be present here. All right, so Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this time together. Lord, my heart is just pounding because there's a group of men who've come together, Lord, looking for you. They want to hear your voice, Lord. There's nothing more powerful than a group of men, Jesus, coming together, just seeking your heart, your direction. So Lord, we just release this time to you. None of my words, Jesus, just your words. And we pray this in your name. So, look at this picture. So, quiet. Think about it. You're walking down a trail, a mountain trail. So just stay in it. Stay quiet for a minute.
Hello, trouble. It's been a while since we last met. But I know you're still out there. And I have a feeling you're looking for me. I'd forget you. Don't you trouble
when I see those horses come across the land. Take this worn out soul of a working man. Stand up, Peter. I'm walking down the gates to lay with my polyamorous.
Perhaps it is you that has forgotten me. Perhaps I need to come find you. Remind you who I am.
Do you guys come on in, find yourself a seat, make yourselves home, you know. Doesn't worry me if you're walking around, moving around. Do you feel that commercial? You feel that? Man, that's speaking to the core of who we are as guys. There's something in there that has to be let out. We have to have this expression of being a guy. And a lot of times, we don't get that opportunity, especially in church work. We got our jobs. We're stacking our chairs. We're doing what we need to do. But there is something every guy longs for deep inside, and you need to find it. You need to be asking Jesus, what is it, Lord, that I am supposed to be doing that speaks to that place I felt in my heart, that I felt while I was at that conference that weekend? There's something there. Now, why are you here? Why are you here at this conference? Why are you here in this room? Are you here in this room to learn how to do a Sunday school class? Are you here to learn how to gather a group of kids together for 50 minutes a day on Sundays and do your volunteer meetings and your training sessions and then, you know, get with the kids on Sunday for 50 minutes and then go to church and then go to buffet lunch at the China buffet. If that's why you're here. Now, don't get me wrong. Sunday school teachers, we need them. We actually want to push our boys. We want to push kids into a good, solid training, right? So I'm not digging on Sunday school teachers. But if you're in here, you're probably not trying to figure out, well, what does that look like for me? What is your heart longing for? Well, if you're in here, this is probably closer to what you'll learn about. This would happen and more likely happen at a Saturday with us than a 50-minute study with music and jumping up and down. You guys got to love that picture right there. I mean, in your heart, you're going like, yeah, I did that to my little brother. My cousin did that to me. How about I just say, okay, guys, we got a big bonfire going on outside. We got some deer steaks out there and some skewers. And, you know, we're going to grab a Gerber knife when you walk out there. You're going to sharpen your stick. You're going to stick a piece of meat on there. And we're going to go sit around that campfire and just spend an hour hanging out. Talking. You can feel that, can't you? When I say campfire, you can feel what I'm talking about. That's what we're talking about today in this room. That's our classroom. The average men's ministry, 6:30 in the morning. I do one on Thursday. There's one on Tuesdays. The average men's ministry is pretty standard. You might gather once a month or once a quarter for some bacon and eggs and a speaker. Occasionally you'll have a workday project. That's always good. You know, go put a ramp in at somebody's house or go clean up a lady who lost her husband. Go clean up the yard. Good stuff. Good stuff. No dig on that. But my question is, when you're doing that, do you feel it inside? I mean, do you really feel it? You feel good because you did something, but I mean, do you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit? Like, man, I was just felt Jesus in that moment. I could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. I got goosebumps while I was talking to that person. That's what I want to feel. That's what we're going after. Feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit in your men's ministry work. And what you're doing as a man. Feeling it. Gerber strong. You need a mission. You can't just stack chairs and park cars and pass the plate and consider that a mission. It needs to be done. Your pastor needs you to do that. If there's pastors in this room, they're going, okay, now don't mess with my setup team. Those guys are highly important to me. Without them, not good. But it's not a mission. That's what every guy needs to be plugged into, that stuff. Every guy needs to be doing the work of the church. But I'm talking about a mission for your heart. Something where you just, golly, where you go home and you can't even hardly talk about the way your time went that morning. That's what we need. Your heart longs for it. And it's where our hearts come alive. When your heart feels the presence of the Holy Spirit, you can never go back. You will always long for that moment where you felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. You probably had it. That may be why you asked Jesus into your heart. It's there, but it can be there more often. So my story, I was between 8th and 9th grade. I was had just turned 13. My parents got a divorce. My dad was bad to drink, and we were living in Houston, Texas. My parents divorced that summer, and my mom took my little brothers and sisters, moved 1,000 miles away to Illinois. My dad took his bottle of Bacardi rum and disappeared. And I had one night left in this little rental house that we were living in, and then I was out on the streets. spent the summer on the streets, sleeping at friends' houses, sleeping outside. One of my favorite places, and some of you older guys will remember this, back in the day, the Goodwill boxes were in the parking lot of the churches. And you'd bring your old shoes and your old shirts and your old stuff, and you'd open the box up and you'd dump it in there. And that's how Goodwill used to, they didn't have stores everywhere. They had these boxes. And so I spent many a night in the Goodwill box. It was great. Of course, on Sunday mornings, it was horrible because everybody bring their garage sale stuff and start dumping it in the box. And you can't just go, hey, wait a minute, I'm in here. First day of high school came, and all my buddies went and got on the bus. I got on the bus with them. We rode to high school. We're standing in the hall. Everybody's yucking it up. Those guys are going to their lockers, getting all their stuff, and the bell rings. They go to their classroom, and I'm standing in the hallway by myself, and I realize that I don't have anywhere to go. I don't have any paperwork. I don't have anybody I can call. I'm not signed up. I got nothing. So I walk out. That was the last day of my formal education in the school system, about an hour of ninth grade. And I can tell you, 6th through 8th was pretty blurry as well. So I spent a lot of time on the streets, just house to house, place to place. There was one point I remember wanted to go see my mom and little brother and sister. So I was hitchhiking to go see them. I was in Toyahville County, Alabama. It was the middle of the night, and I got dropped off on the highway in the middle of the night. And a guy drove off to wherever he was going. And I'm standing on the interstate at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm hungry, I'm tired, I'm lonely, sad, angry, and it started raining. So I'm just this kid standing on the road in the middle of the highway. It's this weather comes in, and I look out across this field, way across this pasture, and there's this little white farmhouse and the porch light's on. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, I just want to go over there and knock on that door and ask those people if they will please take me in and love me. Just take me in and love on me. But of course, I didn't do that. I just turned all my emotions off, turned off everything, because I couldn't allow any of that stuff in, right? I'd just die on the side of the road if I let it in. I made it up there to see him, came back. I was wandering around Houston again, and I met this young guy, and his parents found out that I was living on the streets. So they invited me to stay in one of the rooms in their house. They had an empty room, and it was a horrible decision on their part because I was a terrible influence on their son. But for me, it was a no-brainer. It's like, yes, food, lodging, laundry. The only caveat they had to it was that I had to go to church with them on Sunday. And I thought, I know what church is. It's 1 hour and then that's it. You kneel, you stand up, you do that stuff. Well, I said, no problem. I'll do that. I go to church with them. But this was not what I understood as church. These people had Bibles. They were reading their Bibles. They were talking about this Jesus figure in a way I never understood. This guy who loved people, it was a completely different experience. And there was a guy, not unlike any one of you guys in here, that came alongside me. His name was Terry Moyer. And he just started befriending me. And through that time together, I asked for Jesus in my heart, and I was baptized in that little church. It's a beautiful thing. But it didn't take very long before I was drawn back out on the streets, left that all behind, and went back to what I was doing. I made a lot of money in chemical and agricultural sales, if you know what I mean. And so I was just drawn back into that whole lifestyle. It was super unhealthy. All my validation came from what I was doing in that, or in the women that I was trying to go after, or that would befriend me. And so I wandered around again, and I eventually sobered up. What I realized now was at that moment when I asked Jesus in my heart, there was a stake that was planted. Even though I didn't stay in it, it was undeniably placed in my heart. I couldn't keep doing what I was doing the way I was doing it. It was different. It's like you go to your first AA meeting and you see people who are sober and you realize that, oh my gosh, there are people like me who don't drink anymore. And it messes up that whole thing. So I had these things going on. Finally, I sober up and met my wife, and we wanted to have kids in the church. And I was like, I remembered what that church did. I wanted my kids to be in church. So we found a little Bible church and started going to the Bible church. And man, I jumped all in. And I mean, if you needed somebody to stack chairs or park cars or do anything, I was the guy. Get there early, stay late, I was the guy. And one day I was standing in the hallway and the director of Sunday schools came running up to me and she said, TJ, the third to fifth grade boys Sunday school class teacher didn't show up. Can you fill in for me? And I said, yeah, I didn't realize at the time that Sunday school directors do that. It's this trick they learn in Sunday school director class. And they lure you in and then you're there for like 4 years. You know what I'm talking about, right? And but I go and I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how to do any of this stuff, but I loved being with those boys. I loved the time with those boys. So I started showing up to do that class every Sunday. Now, the problem that I had is our church had purchased this really expensive curriculum. You would get an email, you'd walk in, they'd give you a packet, you know, they'd give you stuff the week before to study the week. And I was like, oh, my head was exploding. And so what I would do is I would just take the virtue and the scripture, and I'd take the boys outside, make up hunting and fishing stories, add the virtue and the scripture, and then we'd have this great Sunday school class. And the boys dug it. Matter of fact, it grew to be the largest Sunday school class in our church. These guys were showing up. They were bringing their cousins. They were getting their friends to spend the night just so they could come and hang out in Mr. TJ's class. I had to go get my buddies off the back rows of the church who weren't doing anything to come and help me. It's like, guys, I got 30 boys in here. I just need you to help me for 1 hour. And so we started having a ton of fun with these boys, kind of with our own. And of course, the director of Sunday school is like, could you please? It's like, but you couldn't argue with it because we had more boys in there than they had people in church. No, I'm kidding. So one Sunday, my buddies and I thought, hey, what if we invited all the boys just to meet at the pond down the street next Saturday? We got a bunch of boys here, never fished. It'd be fun. We're not trying to do a Sunday school class. We just want to fish with the boys. Maybe teach them some fishing. So we have this, we invite them to show up, and all of them show up, and they bring their friends and their neighbors. We have this killer day at this pond with these boys just fishing. And what we started to realize was the single moms in the community, in the neighborhood, and in the church were being really intentional about bringing their boys to our event, to our Sunday school class, and to these little things we started doing on Saturdays. We just thought, well, we'll just, one Saturday a month, we'll have them meet us at the park, we'll go hike, we'll just do something with them, you know? We're still not trying to do anything. We're not creating a ministry here. We're just digging, hanging out with these guys. We're just digging, hanging out with the boys. But we did realize that we needed to start being intentional with them. We had these boys, they were coming from these wounded places. They were telling us stories while we were driving here, driving there, sitting with them by the pond or a campfire. They would tell us these stories about, you know, my dad or whatever. So we started being intentional with it. And then I got a call from a place, a retailer called Academy Sports and Outdoors. Y'all know the stores, they're here. They didn't used to be here, but they were growing this direction. Outdoor store, $2.5 billion a year. And they called, I'd met one of the owners, and they'd called and said, hey, we want you to be a part of our company. We want you to work in the outdoor department. They were making some mistakes in their advertising, like they had bow hunters pulling back compound bows with their hands. They had duck hunters hunting with rifles. And so they wanted somebody to, it was a billboard on the interstate. And so they needed somebody to help them kind of look at that stuff. And so they called and offered me this job, and I hit my knees and I wept. It's like, how could I possibly have any value? I'm a ninth grade dropout, and you're asking me to be a part of a $2.5 billion company? You want to give me a cubicle. And So I prayed with my wife, and we thought, yes, we're going to be able to put our kids in a good school. We'll have a 401k. We'll have insurance. We'll have everything that we could possibly need. And but the job was in Houston, and we were still living in Austin. We were living in Austin, Texas. So it was about an hour and 15-minute drive. And I'd leave on Friday or Sunday nights, and I wouldn't come back for sometimes a week or 2 weeks. And we knew we were going to move there. So I started letting go of my men's group, letting go of all my church obligations, started thinking about looking for places to move to. And one of the things that that my guys wanted to do was they wanted to keep doing those Saturdays with the boys. So I would, while I'm traveling, I'd be sitting in the hotel rooms. My buddies that I worked with would go out with clients and drink, and they'd do all that stuff. And I wasn't drinking. I wasn't drugging. Remember, I'd gotten sober. So I'd just go to my hotel room, or I'd go to my little rented room in town, and I'd start writing, okay, next Saturday these guys are going to go, and here's a plan for them. And I'd write out a little plan, and I'd email it to them. And they'd call me back after that, after their Saturday with the boys, and they'd go, oh my gosh, it was awesome. The scripture fit perfect. Everything was great. And so it was cool. I was helping them, and because I didn't want to leave it behind. They had this really cool thing going, you know, and God was just downloading this stuff for me. And 11 months and 5 days into that job, I got let go. Management change, staff changes. I bloated my stuff in my truck, and I just wept all the way home. It's like, God, you took me out of my church. You took me away. Thank goodness we didn't sell our house. And you took everything I knew. Why did you do that? And I went and met with one of my mentors, and I said, Jimmy, why would God do that to me? So not cool. So not cool. And he said, TJ, God had you in a still, quiet place for a reason. And you need to ask him, what was that reason? And so just praying into it, what we realized was that over that 11 months and 5 days, I'd written a 70-page manual for my guys to use on this outdoor ministry. I'd written the curriculum, a year's worth of curriculum. I'd had the material for ministry. And so then the prayer was, okay, well, we have this ministry material, Lord. We have this outdoor ministry stuff. What do you want to do with it? And he said, I want you to give it to any man in any church that wants it. It's like, oh, golly. That's kind of a big order, but so then the prayer was, well, how does that happen? And I had a couple of buddies with churches close by that wanted to do it. They started doing it, and they had the same experience. Some men in the church, 15, 10, 15, 20 boys showing up one Saturday a month, having this cool time. It was working. Using the material, it was working. My prayer is, Lord Jesus, please, what do you want to do? How do I get this out to the guys? And then I got a call from Hollywood, California. It was the producers of Mike Rowe's original Dirty Jobs TV show. And they said, we're doing a new reality show. We saw some stuff about you and your oldest son being outdoor guys, and we think you would be perfect for this outdoor show. A reality show. And I'm thinking, only you would figure that out. 3 million people watching us on a reality show. So my son and I agreed, as long as we didn't have to be naked, we would probably do this show. Naked and Afraid. So they flew us out to California. They did all this screen stuff, had us on all these TV things. Flew us back, and they said, oh, God, we love you guys. This is going to be the greatest show ever. We flew back. They sent us contracts. We had a lawyer look at them, send them back. You know, and I'm practicing my autograph and, you know, thinking about all these people. And in my mind, every show I'm wearing a KOZ shirt, KOZ hat, anytime I could say kids outdoors. And that's how this thing is going to spread across the country. That's how guys are going to find out about it. So we're out there. We're just waiting for the show to launch. And one day they called me and they said, TJ, we love you and Cody. We love the concept of this show. But we got these guys in Louisiana, they're doing this duck hunting thing, and we're going to kind of go that direction for now. And I'm like, duck hunting? Really? That's never going to go anywhere. Just mark my words. So, and then I'm just like, well, what's that about, Jesus? And so I'm sitting in bed one night, And I'm looking at Facebook because, you know, if you don't like look at it right before you go to bed, you'll miss somebody's dog and then they'll ask you about it and it'll be this whole thing. And but this guy in West Virginia was going to a men's conference in Lynchburg, Virginia. It was a wildfire men's conference and at Liberty University. I had no idea about Virginia. I had no idea about Liberty University. But they had 10,000 men going to be there. And God said, call them and ask them if they need another speaker. And I'm like, I am not a speaker, God. I do not know what you're saying. He said, call them and ask them if they need another speaker. So that night I negotiated it down to an email and sent an email. And the next morning I got an email back and they said, we'd love to have you out here. Come out here and we'll give you a workshop exactly like this. And you can tell guys how to do an outdoor ministry in their church. So I got some flyers made and some little signs made and grabbed a couple of my buddies that knew about KOZ and we went up there and we had 150 guys sign up to do this ministry in their church. Now we went back and I trained 10 churches. I didn't train 150 churches, but that's how I got launched into this ministry. And it wasn't because I studied theology or that I'm some expert in any particular area at all. God was just using what he knew and my background and who I was to do his work. So, as a man of the church, we culturally found four things that we can deal with as men, that we can put our finger on in the ministry that we're going to talk about. FOMJ, F-O-M-J, is the acronym that we use for it. Easy way to figure it out. Fatherless. Half of the boys in our world don't have a dad in the house. Half of the little boys, in some communities it's 80 or 90%. But on the average, half of the little boys in our world don't have a dad in the house. A man in the house. A fatherless boy is far more likely to go to jail, get a girl pregnant, drop out of school. I mean, the statistics are so easy to see. They're over the chain. I mean, run away, use drugs, become an alcoholic. Not having a dad in the house is probably the worst thing that happens to a kid. We're just talking about boys, but the worst thing that could happen to a kid is not having a dad. More majority of the guys in prison are fatherless. And you've probably heard that statistic. That's one a lot of pastors use from the pulpit. And you want to invite a little boy into church and introduce him to a heavenly father. Your father loves you. No, my father walked out on me and that's what, I mean, he doesn't understand it. And as a church, for years, we've been trying to say, come Sunday morning, we're going to teach you about this loving father. And these little boys are going like, I have no clue what you're talking about. And they don't. Outdoors. The average kid spends 40 minutes a week outside, 70 hours a week in front of a screen. Pre-COVID. And we won't talk about what you do or what your wife does in front of this, but the average kid, 70 hours a week in front of that screen. They're not going outside. Kids that don't go outside are more likely to be diagnosed with ADHD, ADD. They're more likely to be overweight. They're more likely to be less creative. All those things that happen when you're breathing the air outside because they're not going outside. And we won't even begin to download or have a conversation because it'd be a whole nother conversation on what's coming out now or what happens. I'm going to start crying talking about what's happening to these kids having to wear a mask every day. It is killing kids. They are filling up the hospitals and the mental wards because they are wounded and broken from it. So every news channel in the last week has been talking about it because now it's starting to come forward. So they need to get outside. If you're an outdoor guy, hunting and fishing guy, I've been an outdoor journalist for 25 years. I've written for all the big magazines, have a radio show, had a TV show, done all that stuff. So I know about the outdoor industry, right? And the industry told us 10 years ago that we had 10 years to get an army of new hunting and fishing, the next generation to come up and start hunting and fishing. We had 10 years. We have 8 years now. Before we start to lose our voice, we're already starting to lose our voice. The average hunter's in his upper 50s, low early 60s. Why is that? You know, the outdoor industry keeps trying to put fresh lipstick on the same old pig. Like, they tell you, take a kid fishing. And maybe you do that once. Maybe you're a great guy and you're taking your son's friend multiple times. You are a rock star. But it's not happening. It's not happening. We are losing our voice. And at some point, they're going to say, well, no hunting, no fishing, no trapping, no. And there's places it's already happening. You know? I'll show you a video. This is one that you'll appreciate. Just a quick video of what's going on, and you probably don't know anything about it.
I'm a vegetarian because I love animals.
I've been vegetarian since second grade. I love animals and I think it's wrong to eat them.
I like animals and I love them.
Animals have feelings and I do not like to eat meat.
Elephants are super smart and have families just like us. They belong in the wild, not in the circus.
You don't have to use products tested on animals. Just look for this cute little bunny.
I don't wear leather because cows are my friends.
Even if your parents still eat meat, that doesn't mean that you have to.
It's easy not to hurt animals. Don't eat them.
Even kids can speak up for animals.
Just go to petakids.com to learn how.
You don't have to obey your parents. You know where that plays? It plays in your kids, your grandkids' classroom in the mornings before school with all the little PR commercials that are playing. That's playing on the TV. It's like, okay, time for announcements. And they watch these things. That's happening. They're outside of the elementary schools. Anyway, point is, we can go on and on about the antis that don't want you as an outdoor guy, whether it's hiking, hunting, fishing, camping. They don't want you out there on their dirt. They're turning the kids away from their parents. Mentoring. A kid that's mentored, a boy that's mentored, is far more likely to graduate school, to stay out of jail or prison, not use drugs, not get a girl pregnant, just because a man is spending time with him, mentoring him. And we're not talking about a whole lot of time. Matter of fact, Big Brothers and Big Sisters did this huge survey, and they found that 4 hours a month was enough to change the trajectory of a kid. 4 hours a month would change a kid's trajectory. Problem is, Big Brothers and Big Sisters, the men volunteering to do that have fallen off so much that they're bringing in women to mentor little boys through Big Brothers and Big Sisters. And you know that only a man can teach a boy to be a man. Love moms, love single moms. God love them. They got the hardest job in the world. But only a man can teach a boy to be a man. So the question is, who was your mentor? Did you have a mentor in hunting and fishing? Did you have somebody who taught you hunting and fishing? How many of you guys were taught by your dad or grandpa? Huge group. How many of you guys were taught by an uncle or a neighbor or somebody auxiliary? In addition to, even better. Even better. How many of you guys didn't have anybody? You're self-taught. And that's a real thing. That's a real thing. And actually, there's some young people doing that by watching YouTube and stuff like that. I listened to Meat Eater podcast the other day, and they had this argument on there about that people learning that way and whether it's good or bad or indifferent. But all you guys that were taught by your dads, your grandpas, and your uncles, what about those little boys that don't have that guy there? They got their mom and their sister and their grandma. They're not learning what you learned. They don't have a clue what it is you learned. Oh my gosh, the wealth of storylines that are in your heart, longing. These boys are longing to hear your stories. Desperately want to just hear your stories. So Jesus did, okay, so fatherless, outdoors, mentoring. You take any one of those topics, right, and you can stand in front of a group of people and talk about this Kids Outdoor Zone ministry we're going to talk about. You talk about that in front of any one of those groups and say, yeah, we're successful in moving the needle in the outdoors and mentoring. And so Jesus, so we can't do this, right, if we don't have a Jesus element. There's no reason to give up any of this time or effort if we don't have a Jesus element. I'm not interested. So, John chapter 21. The guys are in the upper room, and Jesus has come back twice, right? One time was doubting Thomas. The second time was doubting Thomas. And they're upstairs in this room, and all of a sudden, I mean, maybe it's this big. I don't know. There's a few people, but you got these guys. They've been hanging out, and they're tired and stinky, and it's been days, and it's just like, where's Jesus? He didn't tell us what to do. What are we supposed to do? And Peter just goes, that's it. I got to go clear my head. I'm going fishing. Sounds logical. I like that idea. I mean, I think I would do that. I got to go breathe. So he goes out. A couple of the guys go with him. They jump in his family fishing boat. They go fishing all night long, and they're rowing back in. Nothing. You know, they spent the whole night like, God, move over. Peter, you stink. And they don't catch anything. And they're rowing back in. The sun's coming up. John chapter 21. They're rowing back in. The sun's coming up. And a guy on shore says, hey, did you catch anything? The one thing a guy who hadn't caught any fish does not want to hear is, hey, did you catch anything? So there's got to be a reason why Jesus said that, right? He says, drop your net. Drop your net right there. So Peter knew, because Jesus had done that with him before. He goes, I know who that. He puts on his shirt and jumps in the water, starts swimming. Those guys drop the net, pull it up on shore. 153 of the biggest fish they've ever caught. And Jesus is standing there on shore, and he says, get some of that fresh fish. Y'all come over here. And he brings them over, and there's this campfire going, and he's cooking fish on it. Probably got some wine and some bread, and the sun's coming up. And in that moment, he does that thing with Peter that just is, man, spend some time reading that. If you ever just want to soak up some Jesus, read that where he forgives Peter. But my question while I was in that was, why there? Why right there? Why would he spend his last moments with these guys around a campfire at sunrise? And I'll tell you why, what I believe. Because he just spent 3.5 years with those guys. And every night, when they were walking town to town, they'd pull off to the side of the road, make a campfire, and they'd sit. These guys would sit with the guy who created the stars above in conversation and teaching. And with Jesus around a campfire. They watched many a sunrise with him, right? And so I thought, why don't we use that model? Why don't we use the model that he used? A campfire, the outdoors. Why don't we make that really easy? Instead of just telling every guy 6:30 Wednesday morning or every little boy Sunday at 9 a.m. show up, what if we just said, hey, Saturday morning for a couple hours, we're just going to shoot some bows, do a little fishing, hang out, cook something over a campfire, and low pressure, little bit of Jesus around a campfire. Why don't we use that model? That's what he did. I'll tell you why. Because it's got to be easy. So KOZ started in one little church. I told you about it, and I told you how it spread across the country. It's an outdoor ministry, and it's led by you, the men of the church. Okay? It's not a job for your youth pastor. It's not a job for the pastor. It's not a job for the men's ministry leader, unless they want to participate. But typically, those guys got plenty to do. This is something for you. This is a stack of swords over here where you just draw one for yourself, and you're going to go back and use it. And you are going to go out and find the boys in your church and in your neighborhood. You're going to get some of your buddies, and you're going to commit to doing this. Your primary focus is going to be fatherless boys, but you're going to invite some fathers and sons if they want to come. Beautiful thing. It could be you and your son doing it. Beautiful thing. Imagine a fatherless boy watching a dad and a son on a Saturday morning. Dad's like, "Bobby, don't do that." 20 minutes later, he's got his arm around Bobby and they're talking about Jesus with some guys around a campfire. Beautiful, because he's never seen it before. So fatherless boys, primary target. Fathers and sons, beautiful thing. And you'll have plenty of boys that get dropped off by mom because dad's working. Or dad drops them off because he's not interested. Now, I have some beautiful stories about dad all of a sudden figuring out, wait, I might just stay. So they're not required to sign up in your church and be a member of your church. These boys don't have to come to your Sunday school class or be a member of anything. They just got to come to your Saturday. Is that okay with you? If you just got your hands on them for one Saturday morning a month just to try and have a conversation with them and teach them something about Jesus, I'll take every one of them. I'll take every one of them. We've had them. There's a story about one, a little boy who once a month on Saturday, these guys are doing this KOZ group. They had a batch of trees and a fire pit in their churchyard. And this little boy would stand up on a box and in the trailer park and watch them. And then the next month, he was on the other side of the fence. And the next month, he was a little bit closer. And eventually, he became part of that group. And then his mom and him actually started coming to that church. But it was not required. It was just Jesus doing what Jesus does. Right? We're going to train boys to be men. Monogender. So number one question you get in this ministry is, well, what about the girls? My girl is such a good shot. She kills deer all the time. Like, I know. My daughter was the same way. The deal is, so early on, we had what we called KOZ Pinks, and I led that with my daughter and her friend and my wife, and I was the father figure in a bunch of little girls that were in this community that didn't have dads. And then they grew up, but what God told us when we were praying about this was, I'm not gonna answer that question for you, because the question was, how do we pick out which guy is the guy that's going to mentor the 16-year-old girls? God said, no, we're going to train up the boys to be the men, the young men that these girls are going to date, that are going to be a part of the church life, that are going to be a part of these girls' lives. So love the girls to death. They smell better, they shoot better, they pay attention better, cross the board. But we're training up the boys to be young men, okay? And there's a huge need, obviously. Your qualifications to be a KOZ leader, if the Kids Outdoor Zone, to do this ministry in your church, is a desire to do it. Your heart has to be saying something to you. When you leave here, you got to be drawn to it. I can tell you that everything Satan has, first of all, he was trying to keep you from being here, period. He did not want you here to hear any of the stuff that's going to happen here. And he sure didn't want you in this classroom today to hear any of this. So your commitment is one Saturday morning a month. That's it. Of course, you got to meet a little bit before and like, hey, guys, let's meet after church, talk about who's doing hot dogs that day and who's going to call the archery range and who's going to get the church bus or, you know. But think about it. You know, guys create, and we got some KOZ guys here too. I'd love for you to talk to them that do this in their church. Create a spot in your church or somewhere close where you got a place where the boys sit down. You got some fire pit. You got all that stuff where the boys meet. You kind of have your spot. Got to have your wife's support. So it's critical that your wife understand what you're doing. The way the training goes is you do a training. It's a Friday night and a Saturday morning. So Friday night, you watch a video. It's all online. You watch a video with your wife. You have a potluck dinner, all the guys and all their wives, and you watch a video, and it's to your wife. And it's explaining to her what you're about to do. Because what you don't want is her to plan a visit with your mother-in-law on your Saturday when those little boys are waiting for you to show up. And you want her praying for you. I can tell you the wives that understand this, that participate in this with prayer and other stuff, they just love their men. It changes their men. Changes you. This level of ministry, this level of working with the Holy Spirit will change you. If not this, something, but you got to go deep. And you got to be willing to give time. And Rick McGee, we were talking today about a guy that called and he said that it was that fight in his head on what a Saturday, I can't give up a Saturday morning. One Saturday a month, I cannot give that up. That was his biggest fight with himself before he could start KOZ. So you got to be willing to give the time. The evil one's going to tell you, I'm too old to do that. I can't do that. Let me tell you, you older guys, I'm 62 or older. You guys are prime for this kind of ministry. You know why? All the young guys want to sit under your teaching, under your stewardship. The 30s and 40s, they want to be under you. And the little guys, the 8 to 18s, desperately want to be around you too. You don't clock out, guys. You don't have to do the heavy lifting. You get the 30, 40s to do the heavy lifting. You get the 18s and 16s to do the heavy lifting. But your wisdom and your desire and your ability to look and see and understand is invaluable. And you don't have to be a theologist. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your presence is what moves these boys. Your presence. Just being there. I'm going to show you a video. So who here knows Robert Lewis? Know of Robert Lewis? How about John Eldridge, Wild at Heart? Okay. How about the Kendricks brothers? They do all the movies, right? Courageous and all that stuff. So all three of those guys got together, and we have a real quick little video from those guys.
Here are these guys that are going to be working with these boys, and I want to compliment you men, by the way, for your commitment to build in and mentor the lives of younger men and be change agents for the future, because really you exemplify that, and you, in a sense, bring into reality the invisible Jesus in these young men's lives.
What you guys are doing is killer. This is, who's doing this around the country? I mean, nobody's doing this. Like, this is killer. So thank you for pouring into those boys. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you. if you look in Scripture, God is often calling people to go do something, and they feel completely inadequate to do it. Gideon's like, don't call me. I don't know what I'm doing. Moses is like, pick somebody else. Get my brother Aaron. I'm weak, you know. What's going on here? And in that place of inadequacy, there's a reliance upon the Lord, and that's when he steps in and gets glorified, because he shows up and shows off, and great things happen, and you're just in awe that you know it wasn't you, that the Lord stepped in. That's how we've made the 5 movies that we've made. That's how we've done ministry for 20 years, is we're nothing and he's everything. Let's press on and be encouraged, knowing that God's going to show up. And he always shows up and is always faithful. So let me give you this verse. It's Galatians 6:9. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. So don't give up. On those days when you're weary, you want to quit, don't give up. Be not weary in well-doing, because you're going to reap a great harvest for the kingdom. And there'll be more feet in heaven and more future generations impacted because you're joining the Lord in what he's doing in the lives of the fatherless.
Man. You don't have to know those guys to hear those words to be encouraged. It's not about how much you know. It's a willingness to allow God to use you. And I can tell you, there's a lot of ministry opportunities out there. This particular one is the one we're talking about tonight. But he will use you in ways you just can't even begin to imagine. It's not about giving up your personal stuff. You still, if you're a hunter, a fisherman, a hiker, like working on cars, whatever it is, it's not about giving all that stuff up. You don't have to have a kid there every time. No. You got to be able to go and spend that time soaking up, hearing his voice, right? Remember, that's what kind of drew you to that anyway. Sitting in that tree stand, watching the leaves move in the wind while you're waiting for something to come by. Floating along the lake, tossing that bait out there, just waiting for that. Ooh, you know what that is, right? Or setting up the perfect campsite with the fire going and sitting in that folding chair, just, man, you know what that is. Even if you've only experienced a piece of that, you know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I'm talking about. How do you start a KLZ group? First thing you got to do is decide you want to do it. Talk to your wife and pray. Just, you got to know that's what God's called you to do. Like, I can't not do this. I can't not do this. I got to do it. Then you want to go to the website and go on there, and there's videos on there. It tells you everything you need to know. You need to have a conversation with your pastor at some point, but you got to be ready for that conversation. What your pastor doesn't want is another task. Okay? So you want to go in there and do this? Go in there prepared. All right, I got my 3 guys. I'm ready to go. We got a training. They're ready to do the training. I got it all downloaded. I looked at it. There's a video to you. I emailed it to you earlier today. And I'm ready to go. Got all my, I'm all lined up. I just need you to give me your A-okay. Get your pastor to say yes. Set up a Friday night dinner with the wives. Show the video. Plan your Saturday training. We show you how to use all the material. Super simple. Guys, I wrote it. It's super simple. But it gives you scripture. It gives you ideas. It gives you everything. You can read that paper to a group of boys on a Saturday. Go line by line, and you'd have this incredible Saturday with a group of boys and some of your buddies. It's that way. And again, we'll give you everything you need, how to do it. Everything is in the training materials. Let me introduce you to a KLZ boy and his Nana. Okay? This is Adrian.
So, when I was 3 years old, my mom and dad chose drugs over me. And the next day, I started living at my Nana's house.
I'm Nanette Chandler, and I live in Austin, Texas. I became a single mom when my boys were young because their dad had left me and moved to California. And I knew the importance of needing male role models in their lives. Fast forward to 2010 and Adrian was born, my grandson. I adopted him. And his mom and dad were struggling with addiction. And God placed it on my heart. You need to prepare yourself because you're gonna have to raise this little boy. And so that prayer from previously for my boys was placed on my heart again. How do I do this at my age? Our mutual friend Terry Carroll told me, she said, remember TJ, he has KOZ.
The day when my dad got incarcerated, my mom signed me in for KOZ. She knew that I needed Christian men leaders to lead me.
When he came over here fishing and I saw how excited he was and when he first caught that fish and how you just kind of came around him and loved on him, I knew that it was going to be a good program. It gave me such peace.
So I learned how to make a tomahawk. I learned how to make a fire with flint and steel. I got my fire starter that first day that I was there.
But he came home and I said, what all did you learn? He says, I learned about making a tent, and we ate deer sausage that they had hunted and killed the deer, and then they made it into sausage, Nana. They made it into sausage. And he was just glowing. He literally, that whole day, he was just talking nonstop. He says, I met a sergeant. There's a gentleman in the military. He gave me this wristband. And they said they're going to be around me, and they're going to support me, and they're going to be my dad's when daddy isn't here. And when daddy's, because daddy's in jail, they're going to be there for me. That's what they told me. And I said, that's amazing. I said, isn't that awesome? He says, yes. You don't realize what this ministry does for children whose hearts, there's a hole in their heart from a parent that are struggling with their own challenges, addictions, or whatever it may be. But to know that God has placed in the hearts of other men through KOZ an opportunity for them to have healing in that loss. But there's something especially challenging, I think, for children that don't have fathers. His dad is still a part of his life, but he's incarcerated again due to addiction and poor choices, and his mom's not really in the picture. But it's even though it's hard, it's comforting to know that KOZ is there for him.
When my dad's not around, I feel like he abandoned me. And I really did not like that. He keeps promising me that he would try again, but he keeps doing it. And I don't know why.
There's so many great organizations out there, but when you can reach into your own life of blessings and realize that if you can donate to KOZ and help in any way through a ranch or land or food or gifts or monetary donations after you pay your tithes, you are actually investing in the lives of young men.
You should ask your mom or dad to get you in KOZ because they encourage you. They teach you about gun safety. They go camping a lot. And they actually care about you. And I would tell that person to get off their butt and search KOZ on Google and then start. And then the week that they go there, they're gonna have a lot of fun. At KOZ, I feel like it's home. Adrian, and I'm KOZ.
So, there are Adrians all around you. They're in the house next door. They're in the apartment complex at the corner. They're in the trailer park down the street. They're in your family, your wife's friends, your sister. They're all, you know where they are. They're out there. They're everywhere. The question is not, where are the boys? The question is, where are the men? And you cannot call yourself a Christian man and not have a fight that's personal to you. Yes, your marriage, yes, all that stuff, but I'm saying you, for your heart, you need a fight. On the way flying over here, I was praying, Jesus, I'm looking for something, Lord, give me something. And I'm on the airplane and I click on Saving Private Ryan. I have a love-hate relationship with that movie because it just wrecks me every time I'm watching it. And when I watched the first 15 minutes of it where those guys are downloading off those ships and they're running into that just slaughter fest. They're just getting slaughtered. And they're going across those beaches. And I'm thinking, that is us. That is you. There's a whole bunch of us trying to cross that beach. And a whole bunch of us are getting cut down. And we're never going to go deep into something. We're just going to check the box on Sundays and go to buffet lunch. But there's a handful of those guys that made it on the other side, and they made it up that hill, and they cleared that for the guys behind them. And we have got to be the men who clear the other side of that, get up on top, and clear the way for the next generation coming in. Because if it ain't us, who is it? Who is it? I'm telling you, the regular guy out there is happy to get a paycheck and watch some college sports on TV. That ain't what I want. I don't want that to be my story. I want my story to be, man, he was a fighter. He picked a fight. You got to do the same thing. You got to clear the beach. And you're going to be shot at. You're going to get blown up. That's what Satan does. He is after every one of you guys. He's after every guy at this conference. He is so mad that Johnny Hunt does this. Not a happy guy. Gentlemen, it's up to you. And it's okay if it's not KOZ. I'm fine with it not being KOZ. But you got to do something. You got to do something. You got to pick a fight. So, Jesus, we love you. We know that you're, God, we just long for you, Jesus, in our hearts. We just long to hear your voice, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that every guy that's in this room, Lord, they are not here by mistake, whether it's one word, one video, one thought. Lord, they are not here by mistake. You brought them here, Lord, for something. Lord, and I just pray that you reveal that to them. Lord, reveal it to their heart, what it is that they're supposed to do, Jesus. Protect their families while they're away from them, Lord. Keep their health good while they're here, Lord. And Lord, I rebuke you, Satan, and all your minions that are trying to make their way into these guys' heads. They're trying to make their way into these rooms, Lord. They're trying to make their way into this church, onto this parking lot, into the hotels where these guys are going to be at tonight, Lord. We rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. You have no authority over these men, Lord. Lord, come in and just fill these guys. Lord, fill these guys. We pray this in your name. Amen.